This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. If you have a good grip on your spending, you know exactly how much you're paying every month for electricity, cable, internet, and the like. But if you take a closer look at those bills, you'll notice a slew of small charges added on to your base rate, which make up a good portion of the whole. Investigative journalist David K. Johnston examined a host of common contracts and found that they're confusing fees wrapped into just about everything we pay for, from utilities to retirement account statements. His new book is called The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English to Rob You Blind. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I've brought my latest phone bill with me. It's Charter. And I'm embarrassed to admit I've never looked at these separate fees, but here goes. What is an FCC admin fee or a franchise fee? And then there's this Fed Universal Service Fund charge.
Well, you would think from the description that it goes to the Federal Communications Commission and it's some kind of government levy. Actually, none of it goes to the government. It is the amount of money you pay each month to connect your local telephone to the long-distance network. All of that money goes to the phone companies. The universal charge is there to pay for service in rural areas so that you can get your Aunt Martha on her farm in the middle of Nebraska. And despite the fact that the Federal Communications Commission has what it calls truth in billing rules that say you must clearly and plainly explain each charge, they allow variations of this by every one of the companies that mislead the public.
Well, when and why did these small fees start cropping up? I mean, before the internet and cable, I think our phone bills didn't look this way.
They didn't. And I inspected phone bills going clear back to the early part of the last century for this book. Well, we used to have a telephone monopoly, Ma Bell, and it was incredibly reliable, but stodgy and not interested in innovation, and for long distance, very expensive. That's where they made their money. So we now have competition, supposedly, because the Justice Department broke up the phone companies. The problem is we don't really have competition. The seven regional bells that were created in 1984 were each geographic monopolies. And now they've consolidated back into a duopoly of AT&T, the name of the original Ma Bell, and Verizon.
You do make the argument in the book that with these various fees and our phone bills we've been paying over the years for the cable network, which provides internet and cable TV. And on the surface of it, I think, okay, that's great. I like my cable TV and my internet, and these fees are so small, I've hardly felt them. And here's where you tell me what a dupe I am. What am I missing?
Yeah, if you were to travel to South Korea or France, or any of a number of other countries, you would discover that our internet is the functional equivalent of a two-lane country road. The internet in South Korea is 200 times the speed of our internet. And by the way, people in these other countries pay vastly less money because instead of having a national universal internet, which we paid for with rate increases and were promised by the industry, only a very small fraction of Americans have a real information superhighway. And in a few places, local governments have created these high-speed systems, but they've been fought by the industry all the way along, just as creation of public power systems that are cheaper and more reliable than corporate-provided power were fought and are still fought by industry.
So you're saying the fine print is like these phishing fees that might end up in my email. They're killing me softly, 10 cents at a time.
That's exactly right. And in some cases, you're getting gouged $100 a month. And when you get all done with it, I show that for the typical American family, it's several thousand dollars a year taken from you, a nickel, a dime, and sometimes $100 at a time.
Well, we all sign these agreements, these user agreements. So what's to be done? What can consumers do? We can't walk. In many cases, we're talking about monopolies.
In many cases, there are monopolies and duopolies and cartels. Well, we need to change the rules. We need to have balanced rules that represent what in the utility business is known as just and reasonable. Just and reasonable profits for the owners and just and reasonable prices to consumers. We need to have a consumer movement which has been decimated. State utility commission staffs have been decimated. And how do you get that? Well, you have to say to your elected officials, I'm sorry, you're not representing my interests.
And that's the cue for all of us to start writing letters to our congressman. David K. Johnston is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author of The Fine Print, How Big Companies Use Plain English and Other Tricks to Rob You Blind. David, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.